Hi, Rita. Welcome to the Big Unlock podcast. We're really happy to have you on our show. This is the sixth season, and we look forward to a very engaging conversation with you. So welcome once again.
Thank you, Rita. I'm looking forward to it.
So just to get started, I'll give you a very brief introduction about Big Rio and Demo Consulting. So I'm a managing partner here at Big Rio and Demo, and I'm based out of Gurugram, India. And Big Rio and Demo are both heavily into technology consulting, and Big Rio is mainly into strategic and advisory consulting. We have a proprietary DigiM maturity model that we had several very good clients, Geisinger, Intermountain, Montefiore, and we've had two versions of our DigiM awards for the last 2 years. And we had very good participation, and we've also added like an AI maturity model to that as well. And then Big Rio is the technology implementation partner. So, you know, we have like the entire offering because we do the strategy consulting and the advisory, and then we can also help with the technology implementations. So that's a little bit about Big Rio and Demo. Would love to hear about your background and, you know, about PagerHealth and your journey into healthcare.
Yes, absolutely. So I am the chief product officer for PagerHealth. Previously, I was at Salesforce, having led the development of Health Cloud, which was focused on patient relationship management. I've, for my entire career, been dedicated to healthcare technology, really bringing solutions to the market to improve the experiences for patients and for providers. I had an opportunity to join this Pager team. Super exciting, some of the work that was happening at Pager Health and continues to. So we provide nurse triage, wellness, care management for nearly 30 million lives for payers and for providers. And our NPS score is over 90. So that's exciting to me because I know that we're making impact in the market for members and for patients. We're fortunate to work with leading health plans in the US and in Latin America, self-funded employers and large health systems. So I think we have the whole breadth of the offerings that are available. We're white labeled, so a lot of people don't necessarily know PagerHealth, but they know our technologies and our services because they're encountering them under the brand name of a health plan or a provider.
That's really great to know. And I was really interested to read the report which Samantha shared with me. And that had some brilliant insights about numbers in terms of metrics and how, you know, 67% of your audience feels that the co-pilot, they trust the co-pilot, and it was really amazing to see the level of Gen AI adoption from that survey. So how do you feel about, you know, the Gen AI implementation at PagerHealth, and what are some of the challenges that you've encountered? What are some of the big wins you've seen, and what is your, you know, overall view towards, if I may ask, the next trends for Gen AI and for PagerHealth?
Yeah, so I think that we're right at the beginning of this revolution, right? So I think we're going to see some amazing transformation. It's an exciting, exciting time to be here. I think we're going to have meaningful impact on patients and providers. I think we can help providers with administrative functions, medical documentation. We just rolled out something that allows us to summarize a chat and actually submit it into an EHR. It takes 5 to 10 minutes out of the process. We use it for triaging patients, doing intake with them, providing conversational chatbots and AI assistance. We do provider-facing chats. We do patient-facing chats and agents. So I think that there's a lot of ways we're going to be able to impact. I love to talk about this one example. In Colombia, we have a connected health platform for an integrated health system, which supports 14 million lives today. And so they use our platform to do 3,000 per week consultations remotely. And because the technology is AI powered, there's a lot of concurrency, right? They can have 6 concurrent conversations at the same time using the chat technology, using the AI technology, and then they can ramp that up extremely quickly. They can also get the healthcare providers onto the platform extremely quickly. So whether that's a nurse or that's a physician, they go onto our Enterprise 360 platform. But all of that is enabled with AI. Other thing that's super exciting to me when I look at our AI possibilities We can use AI agents to navigate benefits or schedule appointments. We can use it to create really personalized health journeys based on people's preferences, their lifestyle, their care needs. We can help them find doctors. And these are all the things that consumers told us. That's what's going to build trust for me in the health system. And you talked about consumer survey, and they said, I trust AI to help my healthcare professional. I trust AI to help me navigate the system. I trust AI to be able to give me a personalized journey for my healthcare. So what I think is so exciting is that the consumer has said, I trust AI. It's partly because it's all around them, so it's not so novel anymore, but they're starting to build more and more trust, and the consumer survey showed us. I do think another component of it that's very important to Pager Health, and I think is important to the healthcare industry, to be frank, is we have to keep the humans in the loop. So I think AI is going to create efficiency. I think it's going to help us. I think it's going to help our healthcare professionals with clinical decision support, reviewing vast amounts of data. We know 20% of the world's data is in Gen AI, right? So that's a lot of data to be able to consume and to be able to use for healthcare decision making. But I think we're going to have to keep humans in the loop for the time being. I think with consumers, we're going to be able to do a lot for them to help them better navigate providers and the system in general and their benefits, and figuring out what access they have to healthcare professionals and to services.
Yeah, that's a really good answer. Thank you. You know, I was at a couple of healthcare conferences, and the number one issue or challenge or barrier was when they talked about trustworthy AI and responsible AI, because they felt that a lot of people, because of all the hallucinations and the deep fakes and the problems that they're encountering with Gen AI, they feel that the trust of the consumers in Gen AI is not as high as what your survey indicates. So this was really heartening to see, and, you know, also hear about your Columbia implementation, that it's going well, and you feel that people have a high level of trust in Gen AI.
And it's creating efficiency in the system, right? So I think that's really important. I think for the time being, and so I don't know if this is a forever thing, I think if we keep humans in the loop when it comes to healthcare decision making, it's going to be super, super, super helpful to us, because we can start to build more and more trust with the end consumer. Again, it is not a new technology, but it's a relatively new technology in the way that we're using it. So if we keep humans in the loop, we focus on efficiency, I think we're going to see amazing inroads with Gen AI and AI in general.
Yeah, I think that might be an interesting one, because, you know, with agentic, we're sort of moving away from human in the loop and going into like autonomous systems and letting them do things on their own. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. And, you know, at what level do we feel that we still need to have humans in the loop versus autonomous systems?
That's right. Yeah. So I think agentic is very important. When I talked about benefit navigation or finding a provider or scheduling within a provider, we have AI agents today that can deliver that. Mm-hmm. We help with intake, with clinical intake, but then actually delivering the care, we don't let the agents do that. We let the humans do that, right? So, but we continue to make the humans more efficient with their consumption of data, and how do you provide the best care to that particular patient? So it's this hybrid mix. I do agree. We've rolled out several agents into the market, but they're focusing on some of that data consumption, like I said, benefits, providers, and helping them get to the right resources. They told us, consumers told us, they trust that. When it comes to the clinical piece of it, we have this hybrid approach to be able to do that.
I think that's a, you know, fair resolution for now, because that's where we're seeing a lot of success, even in the other healthcare implementations with ambient and scribing, you know, taking away the burden of documentation and letting the clinicians do what they really want to do and focus on patient care, and with Gen AI taking care of the administrative stuff. So
that's right.
Also wanted to ask you, Rita, about your Really Well product, because that also said that it used agentic and it seemed like a really interesting implementation. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. So Really Well is our wellness program, our product, I should say, our platform. So it has the ability to take a health assessment, so actually gather data from the patient and member. It has the ability to give them then very specific journeys around self-guided programs or other programs that they have access to, challenges, things like that. So it gets very, very personalized. We've introduced a wellness companion that now lives within that platform. So for a particular consumer, it guides them through their experience, right? So it's not just a 100% self-serve. They've actually got the companionship of their AI agent, their wellness companion, to help guide them to specific solutions. For instance, if someone comes in and says, you know, they've taken their health assessment, they said, I've got high levels of stress, or my job's very stressful, or there's too many things, we can guide them. The wellness companion can guide them to a stress management program or a mindfulness program, because we know. So in order to deliver the N of one experience for every single person, this is where Gen AI is incredibly powerful, and it gives that personalized experience to someone within the wellness platform. So that's how we're leveraging AI and that wellness companion within really well.
So have you seen any, in terms of adoption of really well, have you seen any challenges? Or as you mentioned in your survey, you feel that people were trusting enough and they were able to engage with it? Like, what were the success metrics like for that particular program?
Yeah, so for really well, our success metrics are how many people engage actually in the wellness program. So again, we built this platform for health plans to be able to use with employers, right? Okay. So they use the wellness program, they sell it into employers. And so what we've seen is this adoption is over 50% in terms of actually filling out their health assessments and then engaging with actually the program and getting wellness. We've seen actual results in terms of reduction of stress, reduction of weight within the program, smoking cessation increases. So we've actually seen impact, which we know then has clinical impacts too downstream and helps reduce cost with a wellness program. And then in some cases, we actually can integrate care navigation into it. So people can access a nurse if they need a specific help. Like, let's say it's mental health help that they need, they can actually access a nurse within that same platform. And we're starting to see more and more uptake of that because it's an integrated platform. What we have for a long time in the industry, we've had wellness sitting in one compartment and health sitting in another compartment. And I think our opportunity with Pager Health has been to bring those two experiences together, because people do not compartmentalize themselves, right? They don't have a sense of like, this is my wellness compartment, this is my health compartment. It's me, it's my body, it's my health. And so our ability to say you're in a wellness experience, and then if you need access to a nurse, you can just get access to the nurse within that really well platform. So I think that integrated experience, that whole person approach, has been very successful. And we're starting to see actual some great results. And we're also seeing ROI, because at the end of the day, for employers to continue to invest in these kinds of things, we have to deliver ROI. And we have seen an incredible ROI, sometimes as high as 7x within a population that deploys with our really well and our care navigation solutions.
And have you been also using voice assistants, or is it all like just, you know, text-based?
They're not using voice assistants today. I mean, certainly there's the ones that are integrated into the phones, and we have an omni-channel experience, right? So people can go on the web, they can go on their mobile phone, so they can leverage the voice technologies that are available to them in either one of those platforms. But we haven't built a voice assistant specifically.
Okay, because that was one of another trends that we were seeing at, you know, the HIMSS conference and other conference. The voice has just exploded suddenly, and we were talking to our partner, Vivid Health, which does longitudinal care management plans. And they said that they were seeing like a flat demand. But then as soon as they added voice, it was like a hockey stick, and just, you know, they haven't been able to keep up with it. So
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe very interesting. Yeah. An upcoming trend that you guys can look into. So in your opinion, what do you think caregivers or clinicians are looking for in terms of digital enablement? What we've seen so far is mainly like their number one ask seems to be ambient. But in your opinion, what do you think? Like, what have you come across and what do you feel?
I'm going to reference that consumer experience survey where we actually heard from 2,000 consumers about what their experience with health plans and the health system is today. We know that trust is broken. That what they said to us, 3 out of 4 people said, hey, customer service, that reduces my trust quite a bit. Lack of access, that reduces my trust, right? So what they're actually looking for, and this is the great news, I thought, from the consumer survey for me personally as a leader in healthcare, is that they are willing to put that trust back into the healthcare system. There's an opening. So they haven't shut themselves off. They haven't given up. Maybe they have on communications. They have not done so on healthcare, which is great news. And so they're frustrated by things like not being able to find information or get access. And what they said they would want is 24/7 access to a nurse, having one agent, one coordinator answer all their questions, right? So not the lobby. Think about your experience in healthcare being sent from one place to another place to another place. They don't want that. They want one experience, and they would like to be able to be supported through navigating the system. The system is complicated. So whether it's a health plan system or a provider system or all the great digital programs that are available to people, just navigation, they want to be able to have some help with that. And they would like the information and support to be timely. So they told us what they want. And from a technology perspective, we can address all of this. And so if there's the right technology partners, the right infrastructure in place, this is all very possible for us to deliver. And so we just have to prioritize it. Healthcare systems have to prioritize it. Health plans have to prioritize it. And if they do, and I'm seeing lots of health plans and providers starting to do this, they're able to get that better experience to the consumer. That's what they want. And they want the not only the convenience of it, but they want the ability to feel like they're being cared for in the system, because they told us, they're telling you what they want, and you're delivering that. So that, I think, is what people are seeking.
What were the kind of timelines that you were seeing on this implementation that you built for Really Well and, you know, for these other products? Because what we were seeing with a lot of clients and companies that we were talking to, they all have FOMO. They know that they all have to do Gen AI. But then they're also, like we saw, 70% of the POCs are not moving forward or not being able to translate or scale into production. So did you, you know, have a similar experience at PagerHealth, or was it a smooth implementation? What were your thoughts or feelings about that?
In terms of implementation, Ritu, it was very straightforward, right? Because we've trained the models, we've trained the agents, we've got it specific to a health plan or provider's needs, right? So that part, from a technology perspective, that did not have friction. I think all of that is well honed. I think the biggest issue we actually had, believe it or not, has been data use rates. So plans, providers, very sensitive to the use of data, sensitive to data breaches, they're sensitive to that. So what we've done is created a data use rights memo. Our legal team has done that. And again, it's just to ensure that the legal teams feel comfortable in terms of what's going to happen with the data. Our goal is not to leverage the data to be able to do, to utilize it. It's not to put it into the LLM. We rely on the Google Vertex model and their LLMs to be able to build our agents. And so it's not our LLM, it's their LLM. And the Google relationship says, you don't have to give me that data back into the LLM, right? So some of those things, again, it comes back to trust. That's what's created more barriers. Right now, again, this is all new. The technology part of it has been very straightforward for the most part. It's been about building trust with the organizations themselves around data use.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I mean, people have had like a different experience sometimes with the models also, but maybe because you locked in with a technology provider and you felt that the implementation went smoothly in that case.
Right.
So we also heard at the same conference that company culture was another thing that frequently came up, because they said that culture can be an enabler or it can be a barrier sometimes, because when people are not, you know, bought in to the entire concept of Gen AI or the education doesn't happen across the company, then people are more reluctant to participate and then culture becomes a barrier. So what were your feelings about that at Pager? And did you like have a formal education program? How did you create that buy-in from all the stakeholders and ensure the smooth implementation, like you said?
I think it's a technology forward company in terms of pager health. We were started by the founder, one of the founding members of Uber, so Oscar Salazar. And so it's already always been this disruptive, innovative technology. It's a young company. So in terms of new technologies, it's very receptive to that. Like that is the crux of our organizing principle. So Gen AI was very welcome. We have a significant data science team, data engineering team. So it wasn't a big change within pager health for sure. Okay. The big change has been at the health plan and provider level to help them feel comfortable. Like I was just talking to you about data use rights, people saying, okay, so what are you going to do with my data? How are you going to ensure that it's safe? How are you going to ensure that it's not going to end up in some LLM that I don't have control with? These are the kinds of questions people are asking. That's where there's been more of a change of mindset. But this is the great news. Many of our customers are building their own AI, Gen AI technologies. So they're using them for their internal purposes, to reduce some administrative costs, to reduce just the navigation within their own system. It's the piece of it when you have to introduce it back out to consumers where they have to be extra careful, and they're being extra careful. But I think the change has happened. I don't know that people are resisting it anymore as much. Yeah. Because it's here. It's not like we can't afford to sit on the sidelines. And the leaders of healthcare plans and professionals, they know that that's the case. So they're embracing it. They're leaning in. I would say that wasn't true 2 years ago, but now I would say it's definitely true. Not so much change management.
Great. So I think we can conclude with maybe some of the risk factors or security related questions or, you know, security considerations, cybersecurity, or what in your mind would be the top risks and how at Pager do you address those? And on that note, I have another related question. In some of the companies, we are seeing that this primarily falls under the role for a chief AI officer. So does Pager have a chief AI officer? And, you know, do you have a governance or ethics committee? And what are your thoughts about all of that?
Yes. So we don't have a chief AI officer. I do have very senior data scientists that work within our team, and they've issued memos and findings and policies about responsible use of AI. And we've issued these. They're available for consumption by any of our customers. So again, that's the governance body, essentially. It was our C-suite and the data scientist team that continues to reinforce for us. The partnership with Google also helps to reinforce the responsible use of AI, because they've made so many incredible investments in that area. So as a partner, we can leverage that. I think the security and governance, it's again, I come back to the data use rights. We just have to help people feel comfortable with the fact that we're going to be very responsible with the use of the data, and we're going to be very responsible to the consumer with the use of their data. So we cannot breach privacy. HIPAA compliance continues to be a complete commitment from us as a technology company. And so we sign BAAs. We make sure that the data is not transferred between customers. It's all for the customer, for the needs of the customer. All of those kinds of things are very important, again, to building that trust with the organization, security, privacy, all the things that we have been doing for a long time in healthcare. We just have to keep doing them and just keep doing that more and reinforcing the responsible use of AI. Powerful technology, but we have to be responsible with it. And that's how I think we're approaching it.
I think it's been a wonderful conversation, and we look forward to going live with this. So Rita, any other closing remarks that you would like to share or, you know, tell our viewers about?
Yeah, I know. I want to thank you for a great discussion. It's fascinating to talk about this and hear about your perspectives as well. I think people are going to want access to that consumer experience survey. They can go to pagerhealth.com/CX survey and get access to the report, or they can reach out to me directly at rsharma@pager.com, and I'm happy to get that report sent to them. So they should get access to it. We want as many people as they want to use that. I think it's a pretty seminal piece of work, and it's going to help with a lot of decision-making as we think about future initiatives. And there's a lot of misbeliefs, if you will, within with about AI. You know, people are scared of it, but actually they're not that scared of it. There's also misinformation around elderly people not wanting to use technology or using text, or it's not true. It's just not true. They're using it, they're embracing it, they're not afraid of it. So we just need to dispel some of these issues. And so this report, I think, can be very helpful in doing that. I thank you for your time and this discussion. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, thank you, Rita. And we'll, you know, make sure we also add the link in the transcript so people can access the report. So
great.
Thank you so much.